For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good evening. It's 6:10. This is a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News tonight, dedicated to the sentencing hearing today for former Congresswoman Corrine Brown. It started with prayers, then to character witnesses, then talk about what should be her sentence for multiple federal charges of fraud. This all follows a full day in court yesterday for her co-defendants, Ronnie Simmons and Carla Wiley. I'm Mark Jackson with our reporter Stephanie Brown, who's been in federal court all day. WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin joining us as well. Starting tonight with Stephanie, is there anything you heard today that may trigger in your mind what her sentence might be when it's handed down next month?
Well, one of the things we've been waiting to come out of this hearing was really getting a better idea of what time exactly the prosecutors were seeking. And they made clear in their presentation that they want Brown to serve what the sentencing guidelines call for, and that is anywhere between around 7 years and 3 months and up to 9 years in prison. The defense is seeking probation, and we'll go ahead and talk about that in a few minutes, but bringing in WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin, 7 years, 3 months to up to 9 years in prison. I mean, prosecutors claimed a lot of different enhancements and things that they wanted the judge to consider, including, you know, areas like obstruction of justice. I mean, is this a range, a guideline that you would expect for this kind of case?
Yes, I think it is. You know, this is a public corruption case, and now we've had a conviction, so there's no question that Corrine Brown has been found guilty, and she is guilty. So the question now is what's the judge going to, what's the accountability? They say if you do the crime, you have to do the time, and there's no question that she's going to do the time. Of course, there was an argument that she should get probation, but I don't see that happening. The guidelines, 7 to 9 years, seem to be appropriate given the fact that she's over 70 years of age. That would take her in through the remainder of the prime of life in a prison. Even if she was to get out a little bit early or get a lower end of that guideline, she's still going to face some serious time.
So when we're talking about that public corruption element here, because that is something prosecutors really belabored in their case, trying to show why prison is needed here and probation is, I believe they called it, inappropriate. They basically said that, you know, Brown held this position of public trust. She violated that, and that was something that, you know, needs to have a clear and significant punishment. They also compared it to other public corruption cases, other times that politicians have been involved in fraud or similar crimes. And they pointed out that there is a lot of variance between all of these and the time that the different defendants that they kind of studied as a comparison shows. But they ultimately found that in none of those cases was their probation. And that's one of the other pushes that the prosecutors are using to say, if you look at these similar cases, probation wasn't appropriate in any of them, so why should that be here? You know, does the judge really consider these other political cases, even if the charges are different here? You know, is it just the stature of a person that can draw that comparison?
Yes, I think you have to look at other cases to sort of figure out where on the spectrum Corrine Brown fits. In a criminal case where there's an injury, a crime, a violent crime, it's very easy to look at someone and say they should go to jail. It's a much more sophisticated argument in a society that takes people and elevates them by giving them a higher status, in this case, the right to make laws and to govern. And when that person abuses the trust that they've been given to their own personal gain, and, of course, we don't know for how long that was going on. We just have the facts of this case. But this has been a career in the Congress, and we have a person here who now has been found guilty of taking advantage of that. It's an offense. It's not just an offense to the court or to the prosecutor, but it's an offense to every person who, whether they voted for her or they didn't for her, they we all, as a society, put trust in this person, and that trust was violated, and now it's time to be accountable for that.
And it's interesting that you bring in not only people that she was voted into office by, but people that she wasn't, because, you know, with any argument, you flip it to the other side. Now, one of the key points in the defense case here was that Brown was a tireless public servant, and even the government said there's no question that she had a long history of doing good for the community. But in the end, you have, you know, these charges and this tainted time in office. And for prosecutors, that's, you know, time that basically just built up and built up and built up into a system of corruption. For the defense, though, they brought forward 16 character witnesses today. And the judge also said that he's gotten around 100 letters, almost all of them in support of Brown. When you're looking at all of the different factors that are at play here, the nature of the offense, the nature of Brown, how much does that show of support really weigh in this sentencing, this discussion?
Well, for over 20 years in Congress, Corrine Brown certainly forged relationships, helped people, got a lot of goodwill in the community. And of course, that's what she used to get reelected every 2 years. So it's natural that there are going to be a lot of people that feel very strongly. There are people that have their whole adult lives have had Corrine Brown as their congresswoman. And so those folks may or may not be willing to address the consequences and face the reality of what happened, because the lens that they look through is a larger-than-life person. But again, that's one of the reasons why the punishment has to be commensurate with this public trust abuse, because there are so many people that even today might be writing letters and thinking she's great. Maybe there are a lot of people out there that still think she's not guilty, or that she's a victim of a racial action, which is something that was bandied around a lot prior to these proceedings. So these are things all that the judge has to weigh, and that's why we have guidelines, so a judge can get a recommendation on a bigger scale as to where the right parameters are, the brackets. And here we've seen that it comes in between 7 and 9 years. And I expect that we'll see a sentence in that range.
And her statements, actually both pre-indictment, post-indictment, and post-conviction, were something else that was discussed today. The prosecutor really taking, I would say, a lot of objection and exception to some of Brown's statements. He read several of them to the court. We know that she's made statements throughout this process about how this investigation was an attempt to get her out of office, about how things were racially motivated, disparaging the justice system. And what we saw today in court was her attorney, James Smith, spending a lot of time painting a picture for the courtroom, for the judge, about a different time that Brown was raised in. He talked about how, you know, when she was growing up, racism existed. When she was growing up, it wasn't anything that they would even think of to have an African-American woman who didn't come from an affluent background rise to the level of Congress. And his quote was something to the degree of, if she makes these statements, it's her scars that are showing. But he implored the judge not to really weigh that heavily in all of his considerations, saying that, you know, there is no evidence, at least that's been shown. And of course, prosecutors called her statements absurd. And Smith really just pushing to ultimately have the judge say, you know, these are comments that were made, but it reflects her background and not her feelings here. And I imagine that's kind of a tough distinction to make, especially when she's targeting the justice system that the judge is a part of.
Well, as we say in law school, when you're confronted with a hypothetical question that doesn't have an answer, you could look at the court and the moot court trial judge, and you could say, well, if frogs had wings, and that's saying, you know, what else am I going to say? I've said all these things. Now I have to come put myself on the mercy of the court. What else am I going to say except for it's a product of something else? I was under duress. I come from an underprivileged background. But the fact is, we are where we are right now. This isn't a crime of 1960. It's a crime of the 21st century.
All right, that is WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin. Stay right there, Mark. A reporter in the courthouse today, Stephanie Brown, alongside. I'm Mark Jackson. Kareen Brown took the stand today, pleading her case for a lesser sentence. We'll talk about that in tonight's special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News, the Kareen Brown sentencing hearing on News 104.5 WOKV. All right, welcome back to a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News, a recap of today's sentencing hearing of former Congresswoman Kareen Brown. Reporter Stephanie Brown was in the courthouse all day. WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin with us tonight. Kareen herself taking the stand today, pleading to the judge for a lesser sentence. Now, Stephanie, not likely she's going to get probation, as we talked about earlier. She'll get some sort of sentence. The judge himself being a human being with compassion, I'm sure. Is he likely to be moved by what she and her supporters, what he heard from them today?
I think that's probably a question where we'll go ahead and bring in Mark Rubin. But first, I want to set the stage for you a little bit about what it was like inside of the courtroom when Brown went to make her statement, because it's a small courtroom, but it was completely packed today. In fact, it was about 15 minutes before the hearing started this morning that they actually had to direct all of the people who are still coming into the overflow room because so many people had already come out. It was quiet. Brown walked up, and unlike a trial where they take the stand, sit next to the judge, during this hearing today, she actually faced the judge, so she had her back to us. But regardless, we could see her grabbing at tissues and making this statement. It was very brief, where she basically was thanking those who have stood by her throughout this process, thanks them for their prayers, and ultimately said that she's asking the judge for compassion and mercy. But her attorney did make it clear she's still not accepting responsibility because she's still claiming she's innocent. And in fact, in Brown's statement, she said that, you know, she's learned from this unfortunate turn of events, her words, that too many times I have trusted without verifying. So going back to her whole defense theory here that she trusted people she shouldn't have. So bringing in WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin, when you have this statement asking for compassion and mercy, but then again bringing up the defense strategy, you know, where is that balance there?
Yeah, Stephanie, that's a slippery slope. It's hard to go in front of the judge and ask for mercy and then in the next breath say, but I didn't do anything wrong, or I trusted somebody else, or it's been an unfortunate turn of events. That's the politician in Kareen coming out. And that's in her blood. I mean, that's who she is. And so I wouldn't expect anything else. But if she really and truly was angling for probation, the thing to do is come and throw yourself on the carpet and beg, and show that you made a mistake and you're remorseful. That's not a compelling argument when you come in and you try to play both sides because you're still trying to play up to your supporters or you're just have being a politician in your blood. It's a tough one. And, of course, the judge is going to have to, synthesize through all that stuff. And we're going to talk about that in a second.
Well, when we do have the judge here, so with a case like this, obviously, as we've mentioned, you have the supporters on one side who are saying she shouldn't go to prison. She's done so much for the community. You should continue to let her serve the community. Then you have prosecutors saying if this doesn't go punished, it's sending the wrong message. This woman had public trust. She needs to do time in prison. There were a few points throughout this hearing where the judge, Timothy Corrigan, kind of broke aside and said it was something he was carefully considering. But what I found most interesting is at the end of the hearing, he made a statement where his actual quote I have in front of me here, he said, "Judges are humans too, and all I can do is the best I can do, and I will do the best I can." And then he talked about how he needs to find a sentence that's sufficient, but not greater than necessary. So, Mark, when you're talking to people who, you know, want to see Kareen be punished, but then you have somebody here saying you have to figure out what's fair, but not greater than necessary. That, it sounds like, yet again, a fine line to be walking.
I love to see a judge that has compassion, because too often judges who put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do, sit up there with a black robe and with disdain and sometimes have a holier-than-thou attitude. And it's easy to throw barbs from a higher bench on a level that's higher than what everyone else stands at on the floor of the courtroom. But when a judge says, and that's not every judge, but that's some, but when a judge says, this is a heavy burden and I'm going to take it seriously and I'm going to weigh it, that to me makes me proud of the justice system, because the judge is telegraphing that this isn't a foregone conclusion, that he's taking into consideration the arguments of both sides and all the public policy issues and all what the prosecutor wants and all what the defense, it all comes down to a few words in terms of what the sentence is. And that to me makes me proud of the system.
And we do know the judge is going to take that under advisement, everything he's heard in the last 2 days. And ultimately, we're going to see those sentencing rulings coming up on December 4th.
WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Stephanie Brown of the federal courthouse this week for two sentencing hearings. Actual sentencing will be taking place for not only Corrine, but for her co-defendants, Ronnie Simmons and Carla Wiley. That's set for December 4th. Mark, Stephanie, we'll look forward to breaking it all down again next month. Thank you to everyone for listening tonight. For Mark and Stephanie, I'm Mark Jackson. Good night.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.